Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren. Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you. It is a Thursday. All consumer issues. What is on our radar today?
Quite a few things, starting with the issue which I can't ignore, and that is we can now go to church as long as there aren't more than 50 of us in the congregation worshipping. And that's left a lot of other industries going, hold on a minute. Most importantly, the Restaurant Association of South Africa. I spoke to their CEO, Wendy Alberts, who's been incredibly proactive and active on behalf of her members of the last 2-3 months. She is livid on behalf of her members. They've sent a letter of demand to government via the tourism minister to say, whatever analysis you did that led you to the conclusion that it was okay for people to worship in groups of no more than 50, we would like you, we, the industry that is on our knees, that has complied with everything you've thrown at us, and as a result we're on our knees, we would like you to apply that same evaluation process to us, because she says we proved just before lockdown, when they were already so restricted in terms of opening hours and the number of people allowed and etc, we've got the registers, we've got the sanitizing, we've got the physical distancing, our tables are
enforced. Natural barriers.
Exactly. And she said, and now you've got people worshipping, singing, dancing, whatever, in traditionally close proximity. We would like you to be fair. If that's allowed, please apply the same analysis and same evaluation to us. She says, you know, we've got 800,000 people who need to come to work. And she said, yes, they're allowed to do deliveries at great cost. She says, but those have always been marginal elements of their business. They cannot get up off their knees just doing that. They need to, and they cannot solve the problem of trying to survive and pay their rents, etc., and their staff just doing that. So interesting one to see how that pans out. When I was chatting about this to a colleague just now, they said, oh, well, legal action, all that hasn't helped anyone with the government's decrees, thinking of cigarettes, exactly, etc. But certainly with regards to the removals industry, remember the Easy Move went to court, and long story short, that they were allowed to operate in level 4, whereas before it was only from level 3. So let's see what luck the restaurant industry has there. But I mean, all of us have had discussions with friends, family, colleagues since yesterday on this. What on earth, you know, what led to the churches getting that right when everyone else has been screaming and dying and pleading for weeks and months?
It's a very interesting one, because you're right. There's a whole bunch of industry out there which is really, really struggling. Everyone's been doing what's been told of them. And when legislation like this comes out, that is very clearly not what the constraints seem to be for level 3. The moment you argue against it, you you know, if you're for it, then it's all great that you're a part of the flock. And if you argue against it, then you're obviously an atheist of sorts, whereas we want to just apply some logic to this thinking. I think that is what the Restaurant Association is trying to do.
Exactly. And Ross is saying exactly that. She said, this is not anti-church at all. We're not having a go at the churches. We're just saying, level the playing field. If you're allowing it for them, we want to know why, and apply the same to us, because by their reasoning, if the church can open for business, so to speak, with up to 50 people, then so can the restaurant business, which is what they desperately need at this stage. Obviously not forgetting that we are operating in a pandemic and that all the necessary protocols need to be adhered to. So interesting one indeed.
I've tried to scrutinize the regulation as well. I'm trying to figure out when our president made the announcement on Tuesday evening. I was inundated with the question, does this mean we can now go visit our family? Because surely my group, my family of three, can go visit my extended family of 2 or 3 if the legislation allows for 50 strangers to gather in one place. However, I can't find that. I can't find that on level 3.
Because that's not allowed. And that's what is lighting up social media. You know, I can go and worship with 49 other strangers, relative strangers, but I can't visit my mom and dad at level 3.
So, Wendy.
Yeah.
It stands to reason that if you have some massive sterilization booth, certainly outside public transport, that that would be, you know, that would be helpful to society. But you're saying not.
Well, not me exactly. I first started reading about this thanks to Dr. Lucia Annelich, who we've had on the show many times in connection with many microbiological issues, including listeriosis. So she's an ace microbiologist. She's very in touch with the microbiology community around the world. And she put out a newsletter a few days ago as saying that she was very concerned about these disinfectant spray booths. She was heartened to see that she's in very good company. The World Health Authority last week issued an advisory saying that the spraying of people with disinfectants in booths or chambers or tunnels, whatever they're called, was, quote, not recommended under any circumstances. So, as I said, we've got two of those tunnels erected at two car train stations, Hatfield and Midrand, as a trial. A lot of media fanfare around that. And I see some private schools, at least one in Gauteng, and I'm sure many others, has erected a booth for its learners when they go back next week. Obviously, there's a lot of marketing going on around these, and they've got a market. As more and more of us go back to work and back to school, you know, there's a lot of fear around contracting COVID-19. So people who are marketing these tunnels, obviously, the marketing is falling on extremely fertile ground. But why, you may ask, why does the WHO and people like Dr. Annelich say it's not a good idea? Okay, so the WHO says this practice could be physically and physiologically harmful and would not reduce an infected person's ability to spread the virus through droplets or contact, which is how it spread. 90% of transmission has been found to be person to person, right? Through droplets, talking, sneezing, coughing, whatever. Not from surface, not from doorknobs and keypads and that sort of thing. And the WHO says even if someone who is infected with COVID-19 goes through a disinfection tunnel or chamber, as soon as they start speaking, coughing, sneezing, whatever, they can still spread the virus.
Exactly.
So Lucia calls it hypersanitizing. She says it is sanitizing beyond all reason. My colleagues in Ireland, Germany, and New Zealand are astounded that when I told them about it, they couldn't believe it. She said there's no evidence to suggest that people outside of healthcare settings should be totally disinfected. She said there's also concern about the type of disinfectants used, their concentration, whether they were formulated for use on bodies as opposed to surfaces. And she's particularly concerned for people like commuters and school kids that would have to go through more than once a day these tunnels. Yeah. It could affect people with asthma, dermatitis, and those sort of things. It goes to the mucous membranes of the eyes and the nose, whatever. Even if you're wearing a mask, it's still in your face, so to speak. So I went to the Gautrain Management Agency with the views of Dr. Annelich and the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And they said, well, yes, this was a voluntary thing that they've done on a trial basis. And in addition to all the things that they have to do, such as insist that the passengers wear masks, apply physical distancing in the trains themselves, so certain seats are cordoned off, and they obviously have to sanitize the stations regularly every day. They put these booths up because they said they not only spray them, but they also take the temperatures on anyone who has their temperatures taken. Anyone whose temperature is too high won't be allowed to travel. But of course, you don't have to do that in a disinfectant booth. You can do it as many other companies are doing with a handheld temperature thing.
Thermometer.
But there's a thermometer. That's the word I was looking for. So this disinfectant mist, says Gautrain Management, it comes from both sides of the booth, spraying a fine mist onto the body and clothes of passengers from the shoulders down. Now, I mean, if you and I had to go in one after the other, Darren, your shoulder height is not exactly my shoulder height, so I don't know how that exactly works. Yeah. But anyway, they're saying it's SABS approved, it's non-hazardous, it's suitable for industrial and home use. Lucia says, yeah, but is that on surfaces or on people? Not sure about that. But Gautrain Management did say the guidance from the World Health Organization on disinfectant tunnels has been noted, quote unquote, and will be part of our consideration of the use of booths going forward.
Yeah. So when I saw them come out, I I thought to myself, I immediately thought this is really, really a bit silly for two reasons. You know, everything that you've just stated, and that it gives you a false sense of security. If you have the virus, the moment you talk or cough, it's out. But if you've walked through the booth in the morning, I'm fine, I'm safe, I don't wear my mask, I can touch and hold people, I can hug. We did the sanitation. So I don't see any positives from that.
Especially if you bear in mind the bottom line here is that is how the transmission is happening, as all the evidence is pointing to, and it's just 10% from contact and 90% what you just talked
person
about
to
the person to person stuff. So overkill, as Lucia says, hyper sanitizing and without justification, in her view. As an allied thing, Darren, I don't know if you've been seeing on social media people complaining about going into stores and having something other than hand sanitizer being sprayed on their hands, that it smells very strong, it's bleachy. Some people have said it's left white marks on their clothes, pointing to the fact that it's bleach or chlorine based. I went to ShopRite, the ShopRite group, on this because Checkers and ShopRite kept being named on Twitter, and they've said absolutely not. We don't use anything other than alcohol and QAC, which is quaternary ammonium compounds, in our sanitizers. We apply with all the regulatory and legislative requirements. And they audited and they do test trips to see that it's not too concentrated and all the rest. The directive has been to all our stores has been to never use any form of bleach. And should any of our stores be found doing so, steps will immediately be taken to correct this practice. And I think what may be happening, or there may be stores that aren't following the rules, but equally, especially if you go into a mall, Darren, I did my weekly outing yesterday. I had to go to my chemist and a few other stores, and I probably had my hands, and I don't have a particularly sensitive skin, but I probably had my hands sprayed between ins and outs maybe 5 or 6 times in a short space of time yesterday afternoon, and my hands were feeling pretty grim at the end of that. So it's just it could just be that, you know, we're not meant to have that amount of chemical on our hands and that concentration, you know, in such a short space of time, and that it's inevitable that we will not feel so great afterwards. So but as again it may be that some stores are putting stuff on our hands that really weren't meant for hands. Unfortunately.
Well, as far as the spraying tunnels is concerned, I hope that our authorities have a look at all the information that's coming through. I think everyone around the world, including WHO and the NICD, are all aware that this is a moving target and things change day to day, hour to hour, month to month. And I hope they're not tied into unnecessary contracts that make them, you know, have to put those booths up, because they do seem counterproductive and not really a solution. So I hope you'll get on their case about that one, Wendy.
Well, I'm definitely going to follow it up. And to be clear, I mean, it's obviously costing them money. So they're investing in something they think is for their learners or their commuters' benefits. It's costing them to give credit. It's just that, you know, it may be a little misguided, and it's important to follow the science on it and take appropriate steps based on that evidence, and not just go by the marketing spiel of the company that wants to sell you this disinfectant booth or tunnel.
Well, I'll wait for our update next week, Thursday, which will be 4 days into level 3 of lockdown. And I'm sure you'll have a lot of consumer issues to talk about.
So many briefings between now and then, Darren. So many. Chat then.
Thank you, Wendy.
Okay, bye.